Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to the Wolverine Live. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about tonight between Michigan basketball revival, Michigan football in spring football right now. I'm John Borton. We're here with Tom Crawford, our weekly guest on this segment. Tom, welcome back to the Wolverine Live. And as I said, I'm looking forward to kicking it around tonight on all both of these topics, but a lot to do with Michigan basketball right now.
Yeah, since that loss in Madison a few weeks ago, Michigan suddenly has a relevant basketball season, three wins in a row, and huge opportunities to put themselves in the NCAA tournament. These next two regular season games, and obviously at the Big Ten tournament in Chicago.
No doubt about it. We'll be talking all about that, and we'll be doing it with the help of a new sponsor that I want to introduce before we jump into our topics tonight. Brand new sponsor to the Wolverine Live, Vitamin Energy, is a powerful, naturally caffeinated energy shot that nourishes your body with vitamins, supports healthy weight loss, and boosts energy for 7+ hours with no jitters or sugary crash. Lots of good things to talk about in terms of this sponsor, in terms of its product. They show you that their mission is to make people healthier and more energized one day at a time. This product is best for hardworking adults that need extra energy and are seeking a healthier lifestyle. They've got benefits in every shot. Naturally caffeinated shot, green tea extract. It's gluten-free, vegan, and kosher certified, keto-friendly. Zero sugars and artificial colors, zero carbs. There's something for everyone. The immune and mood booster, the B12, the vitamin D, workout plus, sport plus, focus shots, and more. And again, remember, no jitters, no crash, supports gut health. Energy with benefits. Let them help you through your day and be your best version of yourself. And you can check them out on vitaminenergy.com. And if you use the code Wolverine BOGO, that's Wolverine, B-O-G-O, all caps, BOGO, you buy one and then you get one for free with that code Wolverine, capital B-O-G-O. And that is at vitaminenergy.com. Go check them out. And I'll tell you what, I can't imagine someone that would need vitamin energy to get energized, but I think as much as Tom Crawford is naturally energized, but we're going to give Tom a shot of this and see how if he can take it to the next level, and it'll help me catch up with the one and only Tom Crawford.
Hey, if it helps me in the jitters, I'm all about that, because I had plenty of jitters on Sunday at Chrysler Arena, 2 o'clock until, after that overtime period. And because that was a nerve-wracking game. So I could use a product such as this to, you know, to make me jitter-free. And no, sounds like a great product and love to embrace that. But yeah, I mean, I'm, like I said at the opening, John, excited about this basketball season, this tail end of it thereof.
And can you imagine where we were not all that long ago? I mean, we were talking about Michigan almost being dead in the water. We were talking about this is not going to happen for this Michigan basketball team. All of a sudden, we're in the midst of a Michigan basketball revival that has Michigan taking down Michigan State, miraculously pulling one out against Wisconsin. That was something else at Chrysler Arena when Hunter Dickinson loads up the 30-footer and just to even make the inbounds catch is one thing, but and we're going to be talking more about that shot, but just the turnaround in the last couple of weeks has been something else to behold.
Yeah, granted, it's been three games. I mean, that Madison game was 3 games ago. They've won 3 in a row, but they've beaten 3 quality teams. And it's how they've won the game. It's how they've looked how they look optically to us, and what they're doing, and what players are stepping up. And the fact Jet Howard, you know, got hurt in the Michigan State game, missed the Rutgers game, and was slated to at least give it a go potentially. We heard on Sunday morning. I was tweeting with some insider, texting with some insiders, and. But Juwan, as he said in the post-game presser, he had the final say on that. They're not going to go ahead and practice. And look what's happened. You know, Kobe Bufkin, huge, huge. And Doug McDaniel and Hunter Dickinson. And we saw what the game at Thursday night at the Rack at Rutgers. I mean, Rutgers was a hungry team. Rutgers is a very defensive team, physical team. It's hard to execute in a half court against Rutgers. And look what Michigan did. In that game, they won a 13-point win on the road, where very few teams, if any, have won at Rutgers this year. So, yeah, daunting task ahead, John, at Illinois, at Indiana. I mean, how can you slice it? And we said this a long time ago. I said, they got to get this thing conquered before that last weekend, because look what they got in Champaign at State Farm Arena and then going to Bloomington and Assembly Hall. That's tough. That's tough sledding. If they grabbed one, that would be great.
It would be great. Yeah, we will talk about what happens if they grab one, because I think a split would be absolutely mammoth for them. But let's talk for a minute about what they have done and what they did just recently. That Sunday game, I still can't quite get over it, because this was a game that Michigan had control of for a while. They're up 11, and then they start to slide, and it's like, oh, brother, we've seen this movie before, and this is not it doesn't end well. So but then you've got a second and some change, you've got to inbound the ball, and you've got to somehow come up with a three-pointer. And you know, the Badgers are living at the three-point line, and you had a ball that was lobbed and completely turned Hunter Dickinson around. And makes the catch, hits the shot. Tom Crawford, that's Michigan's biggest shot in terms of tournament hopes since when?
You know, it's funny you bring that up. We talking to Clayton in the post-game presser about that. You know, we're trying to go back. What were the big shots? Obviously, this, you know, in my mind, and in the others as well, fellow media colleagues, the Trey Burke shot, obviously, in 2013 in Dallas to lift Michigan into that overtime situation with Kansas, ultimately the Elite Eight with that win, and then they went to the final, they went to the title game. Okay, that's right up there. And the Jordan Poole thing, I mean, well, the thing with the Trey Burke shot that tied and forced the overtime, but the Jordan Poole shot against Houston was a walk-off win, needing a two. They only had less than, 2 seconds, 2.1, 2.2 or something like that. They got to go the full 94. And you remember that Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, that he made that little dip move in, drew the deep, and then dished it out to Jordan. I think it was him who delivered the pass. That shot I will never forget. I will never, ever forget that shot. And it was so critical, because it got Michigan into the Sweet 16, and then they're off to the race. They went to LA and it got off to the races. That was huge. But there's been other shots You know, I mean, Ricky Green, when I, you know, Ricky Green in 1975, people, you know, Ricky Green, you know who Ricky Green was.
Oh, I sure do.
Ohio State. And this is when the first round where there was only 32 teams. And if he misses a shot, they go home. They end up in the title game against Indiana. So, I mean, this was in the first round. That was a game when he literally a walk-off shot, like one second to go. You know, I mean, yeah. that one's our. There's been other shots, Mark Lozier against Michigan State, walk-off. Yeah, I mean, there's been other ones. But when it comes to what you set the criteria-wise, tournament orientation, whatever, leading up to NCAA participation, this one's in the top five.
No doubt about it, and I would call it Jordan Poole-esque with some major distinctions between the two, because on the one hand, Jordan Poole, this was in the NCAA tournament, and it pushes Michigan eventually deep into the tournament when it didn't have to be that way. But this one, I mean, you're not talking about a very talented, sort of swing man, guard, forward, gets the shot off, he's set, and you know that that's a specialty of his. This is a 7'1 big man who has to make a great catch on the inbound pass, wheel around, get a dribble in, and get a shot, a three-pointer over. Now, let's not, short Hunter Dickinson on deep shots. He's, shooting 40% or near from three-point range. Yeah. But to do it under those circumstances – with that much on the line, I mean, there would be a lot of people still saying, if that shot had not gone in, okay, yes, Michigan is – they're done, unless they go to Sunday at least in the Big Ten tournament, they're done. And you know what? He makes the shot, and now you've got people saying Michigan is just out of the tournament. Some saying Michigan is just in the tournament as like the last in, first out sort of thing. And it's all turned on those few seconds.
Yeah, well, let's go back to the shot, first of all. And that was option two. Juwan said this in the postgame presser. Option one was Joey Baker. And he got snuffed out on that. And, you know, it was a great entry pass from Terrence Williams, you know. I mean, that was a tough pass. And Michigan, ironically, you know, I mean, when Kobe got his shot blocked, I didn't have a lot of hope. I don't know about you, but I mean, that would look pretty dismal situation to get look at 2 point, whatever it was. But a great, you know, Michigan has struggled over the years from that inbound position along the baseline. But T. Will just nailed it. You know, Joey's not up. You know, option one is done, and he lost it to Hunter, and then Hunter knows he told us he knew, you know, 2 seconds is you got time to plant your feet and really it's not like you just gotta let it rip right upon contact with your palms or your hands. So he set himself, he squared his shoulders, and it was crazy. And you know, it's like Iowa hitting a three to beat, you know, to force overtime against Michigan State. Typically, when you look at, I'd love to see the stats on this. The team that, you know, has the walk-off game tying 3 or 2 to force OT. My God, you got to go with the home team, the momentum. And I thought the Michigan crowd, the Michigan State game was, they were pretty vibrant, but this Michigan crowd, when they needed to bring it, was solid on Sunday. And they had a lot to do with that win.
So you mentioned the home venue, and that is certainly a big factor in, the difference between losing one to MSU up in East Lansing, losing at the Kohl Center, winning these at home. But there are other differences in this team just of late, I think. And I watch them and their ability to get shots and get, you know, just the fact that they got that shot late in the game by Kobe Bufkin. That was a good shot. Now, I really think if he hesitates a split second longer, that the guy flies right by him, defender, and he gets off a good shot. But, you know, you're under those circumstances, and you don't want the buzzer to go off before you get your shot off. But I'm seeing an increasing maturity in this team. Oh, and I see it in Kobe Bufkin. I see it in Doug McDaniel. He's having games right now, that freshman guard. And there's a maturity now. They're, you know, you got people talking about Kobe Bufkin all of a sudden as an NBA player at some point. And so, Tom Crawford, I want you to talk about the things that you have seen that we weren't sure that this team could get to before it was too late this year, is in terms of growing up, in terms of maturity, in terms of the things that they're doing right now.
Well, I mean, I'm going to hit on Doug McDaniel and Kobe Bufkin a little, you know, in a second here, but let me start with Terrace Reed Jr. Because you go to that Michigan State game, and this all started with the Michigan State game. And the Michigan State game was unique because of all the emotion involved. And there's a lot of Michigan State fans in there. I mean, you really couldn't tell that certain, like, who's the home team here? It was crazy. And I knew Michigan State fans would find their way into Chrysler. But Michigan responded well down. That game was tied under two. And then Kobe hits the big three. They get a stop. And then Doug McDaniels has a dish to Hunter, who hits the three, and it's game over. But Terrace Reed, those are big plays. But Terrace Reed was the guy who, when he was in there with Hunter, cost Michigan State a bunch of fits in terms of rebounding. I mean, Michigan had a 38-25 advantage over Michigan State rebound. That is unheard of during the Tom Izzo era. And you know, this is after that pathetic lack of effort rebounding performance against Wisconsin in Madison. So that was big. And then now back to Kobe, and you're exactly right. Doug McDaniel has been phenomenal. And I talked to him after the state game and asked him, you know, do you feel like a freshman? He says, no way. I don't feel like, no one called me a freshman. I'm a leader on the team. I mean, he's taking the ownership as a leader of this team. And this was a team where Jalen Llewellyn was supposed to, the transfer, the next Devontae Jones or Mike Smith was supposed to be the leader of the team. So he's had to evolve over time. And he's done a tremendous job. He's got a lot of confidence. And then Kobe, you're right. Kobe Bufkin, you know, I hope he doesn't get too good. I mean, I think he's, you know, from my understanding, he's a 2024 lotto pick. Let's keep it that way. Let's get him back next year, hopefully, from a Michigan standpoint. But he has got an all-around game to him. It is phenomenal how much his game. And we know how – we talked about this last year, John. When you get to Chrysler an hour before the game, there's Kobe getting shots up. I saw Kobe after the game. After a loss, he's getting shots up. Okay? Yeah. So this is the kind of guy he is. So that doesn't surprise me that Doug and Kobe have improved so much.
And you talk about two guys running with an opportunity. A year ago, Kobe Bufkin got in some games, but was kind of – he looked a little like a fish out of water, a little too slight, a little too easily pushed around. Doug McDaniel was nowhere to be seen. He was still in high school, and he was not supposed to be the guy, as you already mentioned. Llewellyn was going to be the starting point guard. He gets hurt. All of a sudden, you've got these two young men who certainly Kobe Bufkin had high hopes for this year, and so did Doug McDaniel, because he's, if you've been around him, he's a confident young man. But all of a sudden, this huge opportunity opens up for them. And what did we say a month and a half ago? As these guys grow and mature, that's where Michigan's chances lie. And that has been borne out in what we have seen out of this team of late, even after some – and here, I'm raising my hand. I'm guilty as charged if you want to say, well, wait a minute. You were saying that they were in real trouble. And
They were.
And they're still teetering. They're still teetering. I liked what Saadi Washington had to say on Michigan radio last night. He was saying, we're still fighting for our lives. Everything's hanging in the balance, but it's so much different and so much better than it was, you know, 3-4 weeks ago.
Well, you know, here we're on this podcast, and I want to throw the X Factor name that we haven't even addressed yet. His name is Jet Howard. Okay. Howard's been starting all year, but he had the injury. And, I, you know, I'm trying to think of the, I think I timestamped in my mind when Jed got, he got injured in the Michigan State game. I don't know, 8 or 10 minutes ago. It was tied, you know, but people have varying opinion. I'm with a lot of a highly opinionated Michigan basketball experts. So, you know, passionate.
So you fit right in. In other words,
on the topic of Jed Howard. Okay, so Jed Howard is a special. Okay, and Jed Howard is to Michigan is like Jalen Hood Scafino is at Indiana. Marvelous talent that people sometimes get frustrated with because he looks like he's going against the grain sometimes and kind of does things on his own. Because I know a lot of Indiana fans that listen to Scafino, they don't even like him. The guy lit up Purdue with 35. They still don't like him for some reason, okay? Mm. But Jed Howard has been out for these last three games. And I've seen it. We've talked about this half time with my friends. Doug McDaniel is a different player without Jed Howard on the floor. I mean, he's in more command of the game. Now, I'm not saying – I mean, I just think Jed Howard can contribute when he gets healthy to this team. But I think somebody on the fort, John, I think it was on the fort, suggested that Jed Howard be the Vinnie Johnson of this team, the microwave. You know, remember right, the Pistons team? I thought that was a great analysis where Jed Howard could be that instant offense instead of starting. Because it seems like when Hunter and Jed are on the floor, offensively, Michigan doesn't do well. And the metrics will indicate that. So I've read stories about it as well. So, uh-huh. I mean, finding a sweet spot for a healthy Jed Howard, I think, is really going to be key for Juwan Howard moving forward to make this 8-man rotation a 9-man rotation, which is great. But putting Jed in the right role on this team is great.
Well, even saying that leads to some unbelievably interesting dynamics going into towards tournament time because, you know, some would contend, well, Jed Howard is the potentially the best offensive player on this team. How could you not start him and all that? Others will say, you know, there's two ends of the floor and, you know, he is someone who is still learning to make it happen there. And then you bring in the dynamics between different players and how they play when they're on the court together. I think that there is still a coming together of this team, a still growing. And these coaches have been around. We talk about Juwan's relative newness as a head coach at this level. But you've got plenty of guys who have been around it a long, long time that are in his ear. And Juwan Howard knows. He knows basketball himself. So it's going to be incredibly interesting to see how much they can take advantage. That's what this is about now. How much can they take advantage of what's left of a season that looked to be a lost one, but clearly is not now if they respond the right way? And that leads to my next question. Can they steal one more out of these last two?
Yeah, I mean, and they could do it another way. I mean, they could drop both and then get to Sunday and they're probably in. I mean, I kind of went pretty simplified in this thing. I said, if you want to sleep the night before selection Sunday, so Saturday night, if you want to sleep as a Michigan player or whatever, soundly, without any anxiety that the committee is going to hose you, you get to 20, you get to 20 wins. Okay. They're at 17 right now. They need 3 wins. So, and the beauty of winning these first two regular season, getting one here is because these are, I mean, beating Indiana would be huge. I mean, that would be awesome. Illinois is not ranked. You know, there's still, I think, a quad one. But you're on the road, you know, if you get a quad one is in the top 35 on the road. Or, you know, thinking that it's at top 35 on the road, whatever. That would be huge. So, I take that back. I think it's top 75 on the road, top 35 at home, and top 50 neutral. That's what it is.
So, well, they're wide open.
Yeah. So It's like Carr used to. I said, you know, when Michigan was struggling down the stretch and in a couple of those seasons, a lot of football to be played. There's a lot of basketball to be played here. And you want opportunities. And they have these great opportunities where people all of a sudden, you know, Mike DeCourcy and others and Joe Lunardi are, you know, I got them in the last four in, whatever. I mean, they're relevant again. Okay. And we wouldn't have even thunk that, you know, 2 weeks ago. So, common sense will tell you Illinois would be the best opportunity. Although Brett Underwood, when he gets really mad at his team off a loss, and how do they get blown out? How do they lose by 12 points to Ohio State, who had lost, what, 11 in a row? So you're kind of catching Illinois at a bad time, but you got to worry about yourself, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the reason I bring up these next two games, you know, you're looking bigger picture, and I get it, get to 20 wins and all that. But how – my question would be how the tournament committee – and I get it, CMU, bad loss, ugly, all of that. But how do you keep a Big Ten team with a dozen Big Ten wins, which Michigan would have with one or more out of these last two, out of the tournament? After you talk about the Big Ten all year long as one of the toughest conferences in America, you've got Michigan – what, tied for second right now in the Big Ten, despite everything else that's happened. And if they get one more, you know, out of these next two, that makes them 12-8 in the Big Ten and solidly in the top five. I get what you're saying, and you want to finish out as strong as you possibly can, but I think it would be absolutely fascinating if Michigan finished at 12-8 and somehow did not make the tournament.
I mean, there's been some ACC teams over the years that have gotten in at 8-10. I think somebody got in at 7-11 in the Big Ten or in the ACC, you know, 1 year at 18 game slate. You know, it's crazy. Here's the Big Ten. The Big 12 is obviously the toughest conference in college basketball. We're not going to argue anything like about that. The Big Ten, though, although their average ranking is like 58, whereas the Big 12 is like in the 20s or something like that, average net ranking. It's in the 50s, the Big 10 is. But it's like so many teams. I mean, there's only like – I mean, look at Nebraska. Look, Nebraska's won 4 out of 5. As we're taping this tonight, Michigan State's going to Lincoln. I think they're going to be challenged to beat Nebraska. You know, Nebraska is all of a sudden playing with house money, you know, just going out and having fun. They're a thorn in everybody's side. And, I mean, only Minnesota, out of those 14 teams, there's only one team that gives you that so-called gimme win, and that's Minnesota. And I, you know, so it's the most balanced – I've watched Big Ten basketball since I was a kid. The most balanced overall conference I've ever witnessed. And there's no great teams, but there's a lot of – decent / pretty good teams. And a lot of those are NCAA worthy.
Yeah. So Tom Crawford's big picture is get to 20 wins to to make sure
to sleep Saturday night.
Or just shoot for the moon. Win the last two on the road, watch Purdue lose them, and tie for the Big Ten championship.
Yeah. Who would have thought that? I mean, that is nuts. That's nuts that we're sitting right now and Michigan is in that position. And it's Purdue's, they got a couple tough games, at least one. So, I mean, it could happen.
Probably not going to happen. But the fact that it's even mathematically possible, what have we been talking about ever since, you know, you saw Michigan kind of have a tailspin. It wasn't that long ago that you had the head coach from Michigan saying, these guys aren't doing what they're being asked to do at the end of this game. And mm-hmm. Very much alluding to the fact that they were freelancing. And that's not a good sign when you're fairly deep into a season. So since then, obviously, you know, I don't know if the coaching staff said, Hunter Dickinson, you catch this lob, you take one dribble, and you nail the three that's going to lead us to overtime victory against Wisconsin. But I'll tell you what, he you mentioned him as a backup plan there because he was not the option number one. Pretty good backup plan.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, he does hit perimeter, and it's fitting. I mean, it's kind of really fitting. I mean, here Hunter has manufactured this venomous relationship with Wisconsin and calling them scumbags and things like that. By the way, he admitted he's giving up his podcast for Lent. He said that in the presser. So maybe that's a good thing. You know, because
probably wise.
Yeah, I mean, because I've talked to some pretty high level basketball servants, if you will, and it said who said if Hunter Dickinson would shut his mouth and just focus on the game, he'd be. I mean, he's a big dude. He's a load, and he showed that. I mean, he was terrific. Because Wisconsin was making it very difficult. But I mean, he got 23 points in this game. He got 23 and 10 is a pretty doggone good outing. You know, he got 13 shots up in this game. I'd like him to get 16 or 20, but I mean, he had Stephen Crowell, he had Tyler Wall, he had all these guys banging him. I swear to God, Wisconsin, John. The way they back you down, I mean, they remind me of driveway basketball. They'll stick they'll stick their butt out and just shove you right in. And they were playing that grind it out, you know, Jalen Pickett type of post up play, kid out of Penn State, and it was effective. And Michigan could not shake these guys. And I thought Michigan was going to win this game by 8 or 10. They ended up doing what it took overtime. But this game was a little bit tougher than I thought it was going to be. I thought this was the easy game of the remaining, okay, of these last four or five. So now, I mean, the home version of Wisconsin. Now we're going to really find out what Michigan's going to be made of these next.
Oh yeah, steal one and take your chances, and then have a nice Big Ten tournament run. You can make yourself. You can turn this season into a one to remember if, in fact, we're sitting here a month from now and Michigan is somehow in the Sweet 16 for the, what, sixth straight year?
Yes,
that would be something else. So, all right, we're gonna shift gears. We're coming down the home stretch here in this segment of the Wolverine Live. We want to talk a little football. Okay. And we all obviously have the start of spring football. We've got Jim Harbaugh looking the media dead in the eye and basically saying, what, me worry about this whole the ongoing drama here, not here. He's basically saying, look, you guys would have a story if I wasn't here. I'm here. And, you know, just like I predicted that I would be, I am here, and we're gonna, you know, we're moving forward. We're gonna have a great season. I know, Tom Crawford, you were among those and expressing considerable angst about whether or not Jim Harbaugh, in fact, would be in place. What do you make of the what me worry take on this?
Well, I mean, it's like. There's some hypocrisy. I mean, he says, you know, I'm here as long as they want me here. So I guess maybe that's just saying, you know, and he said that last year, you know, and then he said he's locked into Michigan after the Minnesota flirtation. And then he admitted, you know, that he was, you know, looking at situations in the NFL, as was his staff. You know, I'm to the point right now, I'm just callous to it, John. The players don't seem as bothered by it as fans do. I mean, the players seem to not be, you know, they don't comment about it. They seem like locked in this next year. And this next year, I mean, this team is freaking loaded. I mean, there's been a lot of seasons on the brink for Michigan football. I've anticipated over the years. This one's at the top of the heap in terms of expectation, because I'm expecting Michigan to be in the college football playoff and potentially and almost likely lose one game in the regular season, not Ohio State. I think there's some minefields out there. They could drop one on the road and it wouldn't even matter, because if they beat Ohio State, they're going to go to the Big Ten championship. They're going to win that game, and I got them in the title. I got him in the title game, you know, and but you know, it's like, again, we're not going to find out. I mean, they are the only Big Ten team not playing a group of five, or not playing a Power Five. There's 14 teams in the Big Ten. Only one team is not playing Power Five. That's Michigan. Okay, I'm not going to get into that because all these people are worried about schedule. Okay, okay, but eventually, I mean, you're going to get beat up on that, and they have already the last couple of weeks. Sports Illustrated, one of them. But I think there's enough solid road opportunities here to really showcase what they're all about and get their credibility up, their equity, and so that, you know, the lollipop non-conference slate's not going to matter.
I agree with you 100%, and I really think, again, you take care of business at the other end of the schedule, and nobody's going to care. Are they going to take some heat early? Yes. Are they going to are the pollsters going to make a point, and the playoff voters saying, well, they didn't play, you know, no, we've got them just outside, but you go and you win at Penn State and you win at Michigan State and and then you take down the Buckeyes at the end. It once again will not matter. I like the fact that Michigan does, you know, this is for the benefit of the we've got to play a higher caliber of schedule just down the road, just around the corner. You've got Texas, you've got Oklahoma, got Notre Dame coming back in a few years, and so you have all that. And as for Jim Harbaugh himself, kids, all you kids out there, just hang on, just enjoy the ride until it's over, and then we'll do something different. Because I agree with you. You reach a point where, you know, Jim Harbaugh is going to do what he wants to do, and he will probably say along the way a few times, as long as Michigan wants me here, I'll be here. And that puts the onus on one Ward Manuel and Santa Ono and everybody that is supplying what Michigan football feels like it needs to stay up at this level to continue to produce. And for Jim Harbaugh to say, you know what, they want me here. Look what happening with the ability to transfer in, and look what's happening with the NIL and those sorts of things. Maybe not out in the public so much, but behind closed doors. So, we're going to wind this thing down. But I would like to know, you already expressed considerable confidence that Michigan is going to be where it has been these last 2 years. I want Tom Crawford to put a percentage on it. Percentage for a Big Ten three-peat by the Wolverines.
That's a good one. And I do play the percentage card quite a bit. So I'm going to go 80% chance of winning the Big Ten.
Okay. There he is. Mason Blue Love Goggles, as he refers to at times. Yeah. I am at 75%.
Okay,
I decided on that figure before coming in. I just think that this team, as you mentioned, they're loaded offensively, defensively. They are going to be very good. We talked about Jesse Minter a week ago. He will be back in place. That is huge news for the Wolverines. They've got so much defensive talent, and they have proven the ability to develop that talent. You think about those young guys up on the defensive line last year that were just getting their feet wet and maybe going above and beyond, certainly some of them, anything that we would have expected out of freshman defensive linemen. And you've enhanced yourself defensively through transfers. You know, we're talking about couple of very young cornerbacks who may be the next great combo for the Wolverines. And I really like this team. And I think that it's a very good bet that, as you mentioned, you go into that Ohio State game, no losses, one loss, either way, knock off the Buckeyes at home, bring a little snow again just to set the scene at Michigan Stadium, and all's well.
Well, as long as the plug and plays, when we talked about the transfers on the offensive line, work, and this offensive line is even remotely as good as the last 2 years, you have an offense that has as much two-dimensional potency that I can ever remember Michigan having. I mean, we talked about it last week, probably 2 1,000-yard rushers potentially. You got J.J. McCarthy, who is probably will go down as the most talented quarterback ever. I mean, talented. Maybe not, you know, maybe it might not come into fruition. This guy is a multi-talent run, pass option, and great decision making. And he's got a great chemistry with his coach and Jim Harbaugh. So I'm glad that tandem's back. I'm glad Harbaugh's back next year. If Harbaugh wins the national championship, I don't know if he's going to hang around, and I don't really care. And I don't really care what he says anymore. Just keep, just produce. You got a hell of a staff. You made some great decisions. You got Chris Partridge back on board, coaching those linebackers. I'm giddy about anticipation of the year. I might have egg all over my face. But I'm sitting here, on February 28th, feeling pretty confident. The long way. Football's so long away, I don't have to worry about it.
There you go. And we will be, we've got football to, as Michigan fans tend to do, dream about months down the road.
Yes.
We've got Michigan basketball right now in the thick of it after appearing to be out of it. So plenty to talk about in the weeks to come. We will certainly do that with a man that, remember, Vitamin Energy, you buy one, get one free with the code Wolverine BOGO, as you see listed there. Get to vitaminenergy.com, and you too will have the energy of a Tom Crawford or maybe beyond. Tom, great having you with us. We'll do this again next week, and I much appreciate you.
Always a pleasure. It'll be Big Ten tournament week, and we'll preview that. Look forward to it, JB.